ESPN Radio 1027, Elkhart and Goshen Sports Station. You're not wrong. Your opinion just needs an adjustment. Now back to the home stretch with Pat Doherty.
Welcome back here to the home stretch, ESPN Radio 1027. I'm Pat Doherty. Glad to be here with you. We're now joined by Freddie Coleman, part of the Freddie and Fitz. You can hear that here on ESPN 1027 nights, weeknights. Freddie, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Pat, man. How's everything in Indiana?
It is beautiful weather, so we can't complain. It's not too hot yet, kind of in the 70s, so it's perfect golfing weather. I'm hoping to get out and hit the links tonight.
Well, at least don't try to play 9, play 18. If you're going to go do it, go all out. Don't just go halfway.
Well, I love it because there's a lot of courses that after 5, you can golf all you want, all you can till it gets dark for $5. You just got to walk. So.
Wow, that's better than what I do when it comes to golf with a clown's mouth and also a windmill. You get a better deal than I do.
Heck yeah. So, Freddie, let's talk about the big game tonight. And Golden State has dominated the first two games. I heard an interesting water cooler conversation the other day, and I wanted to pick your brain about this. A couple of the guys here in the office were talking about they believe that Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are two of the best bad shot takers in the NBA, and meaning that they take the weirdest, most contorted shots that you're kind of sitting there going, really? And then it goes in the basket. And it kind of happens more often than not. Now, what do you think?
I disagree with the Kevin Durant one because he's so good at creating space and using his length to go over guys. If anything, he makes better contested shots than anybody in the NBA because somebody is near him, but he's so good because he can get that lift and get that length and rise above a defensive hand or a defensive pressure. Now, I agree with Steph Curry because a lot of shots that no coach would ever tell their players to take, he's going to take those shots because, A, he's shown the ability to make them, and, B, he's had the green light to take those shots ever since he's at Davidson playing under Bob McKillop. So when you have a guy that has that kind of gift, that has that kind of ability, you don't rein that in because more often than not, he's going to knock those shots down, and he's also going to know when to take those shots and when not to take those shots. So I agree with the second part with Steph Curry, but Kevin Durant, he's a great contest shot maker. He's not a bad shot taker.
When you look at this series, obviously the first two games, Golden State actually dominated a little bit more in the first two games last year in the finals. This year, obviously, with Durant, has a different feeling. They're a favorite tonight. ESPN has them 3.5 on the road at Cleveland. What are your thoughts in tonight? How important is winning tonight for the Cavaliers? Obviously, if they don't, you know, the obvious thought process, they're one game from elimination. But you feel like they have to have some sort of confidence and at least play a close game.
I don't know where the confidence is going to come from based on the first two games, as far as I'm concerned. They have to put that out of their minds and say, Golden State held serve at home, which is what they were supposed to do, which is what you're supposed to do if you're a favorite in the series. Now, how can we flip that around if you're Cleveland? And if they're going to do that starting in game 3 tonight, then I believe that Kyrie Irving has to be Superman B, the Superman A that is LeBron James. We can talk about Tristan Thompson needs to play better, or Kevin Love needs to play better, or Cleveland needs to muck up the game and slow down Golden State. The best way you're going to do that if you're Cleveland is that Kyrie Irving has to go for 30 to 35 points, and this way LeBron James does not have to do anything. Cleveland's not going to change who they are. This is the kind of basketball team that they've been all season long. They can't just change midstream now and say, we have to muck up things against Golden State. They don't have anybody outside of Tristan Thompson that can do that. You can't rely on Amon Shumpert to do that, or Channing Frye, or Kyle Korver. That's not part of their basketball DNA. So you have to go and be successful with what you've done and been successful with all season long. And they've been a freewheeling, up-tempo style basketball team. They can't change because they lost the first two games of the series, because that may make it worse for Cleveland in game 3 than trying to play their system, hope that system's going to be better than what we saw in game 1 and game 2.
What do you think about LeBron's comments? He seems to have been annoyed by some of the questions he's had in the finals. He didn't take the podium after game 2. He just seems to be a little bit, I don't want to say ruffled, but it seems like he's getting annoyed with the questions constantly about Golden State and how good they are. And then, I don't know, I'm sure you heard the question the other night about, well, you know, what do you have to do, or how important is it to protect home court, which I think is ridiculous. Obviously, they have to protect home court or the series is over. But do you feel like the narrative right now, no matter what LeBron says, he's going to be taken out to the woodshed because he's kind of the villain right now?
Well, I don't know if he's kind of a villain. I wouldn't go that far with LeBron James, because I guess I would be annoyed if I'm hearing that time and time again, and I believe, and this is why I think he's annoyed, that you don't know if you have an answer to conquer this basketball team compared to last year, especially when they didn't have Kevin Durant last year and they have him now, and you know there's not one person on your team that has an answer for him. I mean, LeBron is still a terrific defender, but there's certain guys that can't be guarded no matter what you do. LeBron James is one of those guys. Steph Curry, he's one of those guys. James Harden, he's definitely one of those guys. Russell Westbrook, if you're a superstar past or present in the NBA, it doesn't matter what the defense is doing, because you're so gifted offensively that you're going to find an answer to that. So I think that's probably part of LeBron's frustration, is that last year he looked at Golden State, and even when they were down 3-1, he still had that belief, because he knew no matter what, he was going to be the best player on the floor, even though Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on the other side. In the first two games, he has not been the best player on the floor. The best player on the floor is Kevin Durant. And for the first time in a long time, LeBron looks at a guy on the other side and he says, man, if he's going great, I and my team don't have enough to overcome him. So honestly, Pat, I believe that's where that frustration comes from, because now you know you have guys on your side that can help you, and you know they can step up. But even if they do, you still may not have an answer for those two guys, especially that one guy that is playing with so much purpose and so much of an edge in Kevin Durant.
I think you explained that perfectly. Once again, we're talking to Freddie Coleman, national ESPN host, Freddie and Fitz. You can hear it here on ESPN Radio 102.7 every weeknight. Freddie, one of the other big stories that broke today, Bob Stoops stepping down as the head coach of Oklahoma. I just get the feeling Bob Stoops is not done coaching. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't have a chance to read too many articles on the reasoning behind him stepping down today, or at least get a full picture of that. But I have to believe that he is going to be coaching again somewhere. Do you feel the same? And if so, is it college? Is it NFL? What's the next challenge for Bob Stoops? He's still pretty young.
He is still pretty young. He's just 56 years of age. And I thought the same thing, Pat, when I saw and read the statement from Bob Stoops. But then I heard what Bruce Feldman, college football writer, had to say about somebody he talked close to, Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops did not even think he would be coaching this long, because his dad passed away while coaching at the age of 54. And Bob Stoops had told people for so many years he did not want to have that happen to him, where coaching consumed him so much that it would take his life. He has twin boys that are about to go into high school. He wants to see them play football, whatever sports that they're going to play. And when you've been somewhere for 18 years, that's not to say you can't look for a new challenge. And it's nothing health-related with Bob Stoops. Maybe it's time for him when he looks at himself and he says, you know what, I don't want to be what happened to my dad. I don't want to do that to my family, what happened to my family, where coaching consumed my father to the point that it took his life. That's not to say that he may not look at another challenge down the line and maybe want to get back into college football. But based on when I heard that story from Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports, I said, that makes a lot of sense, because now you're 2 years beyond the age your father lived, and you're still healthy enough where you can do things and be around your family for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. If that's more important than Bob Stoops, then he made the exact right decision for himself and his family. That's not to say that he won't get that coaching itch, because when you're that talented of a coach and that great of a recruiter and your legacy has been secured as Oklahoma's head coach, inevitably, there's going to be a certain can I do this or can I do that? But if he does not want to go down the same path that wound up taking the life of his dad, then I clearly understand why he made this decision right now, because what else is there for him to do in college football? He's won a national championship. Oklahoma's in a great spot. Lincoln Riley steps in with new facilities and everything like that, and a lot of money coming in from the Big 12 in college football. He knows that he has left this program in great hands, and he does not have to look back in regret by making this decision today.
Well, and I think that's a fantastic point, as well as when you look at the stress level of coaching, as quickly as we bounce coaches around everywhere, and even though his health isn't part of this decision, but you know that wears, that stress level, that constantly being gone, it wears on the family. I think it's a great move. If that is the purpose of being spending more time with the family. But I agree with you as well. When you're that good, that coaching itch is going to get back. And maybe it'll take a couple of years, like an Urban Meyer, a couple of years to find another program that you really will get you back on the sidelines. But I think we'll see Bob Stoops again roaming the sidelines at some point. But I found that a little interesting today. But yeah, you're right. Oklahoma, a fantastic position that he is leaving them in, and fantastic for him to make that decision for his family. Once again, Freddie Coleman joining us here on ESPN Radio and the home stretch. Freddie, always a pleasure, my man. Should be a great game tonight. Hopefully a great game tonight. I'd like to see this series go a couple more games. I'd hate to see a blowout because I don't know what that would do for the NBA.
Well, I'll tell you this. It wouldn't be good for the NBA, even though ratings have been up compared to last year despite the blowouts in the first two games. But, Pat, I'm with you. I predicted the Warriors would win in six, and selfishly, I want seven games. But if Cleveland does not win tonight, this series is going to be over by 11:48 Eastern time on Friday because I do not believe for one second that Golden State is going to let them get away and win a game four in their building. So if the Cavaliers want to have any pulse in this series, they have to win game three tonight. If they don't, we're going to only have Stanley Cup NHL action over the weekend and no NBA action for the rest of the year.
Well, let me ask you this as a quick finale. If Golden State sweeps the Cavaliers, do you see the Cavaliers having to go get their own Kevin Durant style of player, a Westbrook, a Harden, somebody of that level to try to counteract? Or otherwise, we're going to see a potential dynasty with Golden State if they can keep these guys together.
Well, that's a great question, and it's something I've thought about with Cleveland, that if that does happen, you're going to have to try to find a way to keep up in the arms race. That is going to be the Golden State Warriors, because we know the San Antonio Spurs, they're not going to stand pat. If Oklahoma City has any wherewithal, they're not going to stand pat. The Boston Celtics, they're not going to stand pat. And I'll give you a guy that I think would be the perfect guy for Cleveland and what they're doing. And I think that guy is Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, where you have a long defender at 6'8", where you don't have to have LeBron James stick everybody at 6'8", at the front court position. He's not going to worry about being a Batman or having his own team, because he's going to see that to Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. You know he's going to be a terrific defender. He's going to play hard each and every possession. And he's another guy that you're going to need from the perimeter, or that can get his shot closer to the rim. Right now, they only have two guys that can do that in LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love's not bad at it, but he's not those two guys. So I think if anybody would be a perfect fit for them, because I don't think any of the guys you mentioned, James Harden's not leaving Houston, Russell Westbrook's not leaving Oklahoma City, but a guy like Paul George, who clearly wants out of Indiana and wants to go somewhere else, you could not find a better front court complement, a guy that can play two, three different positions in the new style NBA that we have right now.
Hit it on the head. That's a perfect fit. Freddie Coleman, you can hear him weeknights here on ESPN Radio 102.7 across the nation as well. Freddie, always a pleasure, my man.
Anytime, Pat. Enjoy the golf game today as well. You be well, my friend.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Freddie Coleman from Fetty and Fitz. You can hear them again here on ESPN Radio 102.7 nationally as well. Freddie Coleman, always a fun interview. Some great points as well there. Takeaways. Paul George to the Cavs next year. That would be a fantastic fit. And I just wonder how he'd play nice with the rest of those guys.